as we make our move into a Thursday and get our view from the middle. He was at that Texas versus LSU game in Austin. You can follow his work in the red section of USA Today or online, usatoday.com. Check him out on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. George, happy Thursday. How are things with you?
Things are good, man. How are you?
Awesome. Before we get to college football, a subject we've broached, this week the NCAA asked the California Senate to vote no in favor of the Fair Play Act. The Assembly passed it 73-0, Senate 39-0. In essence, it would allow scholarship athletes to get endorsement money without penalty. I know there's a lot to this. Let's just start with the basics, the vote passing so overwhelmingly. What does George Schroeder make of this?
I think it's, I don't care how it passed, and I assume Gavin Newsom, the California governor, will sign it. You know, it's one of those things, no one wants to be seen as against the athletes, right? So they're all going to be on board with that. And my guess is many of the legislators who cast the vote really don't have the first clue as to what the actual situation is. Let's just be honest. It's not like they're, and it's not that they're dumb. I'm not suggesting that, but it is that they haven't dived into what the NCAA is and how it does its business, and the fact that it's just sort of a member association, and the rules are voted on by the schools themselves. As for the bill, when it is signed into law, it doesn't take effect till 2023. I think that there's every chance that we will never see it happen. On a couple of levels. First of all, the NCAA optically doesn't have a win here. There's no win for the NCAA optically, again, because you don't want to be seen as against athletes. They're already working on names, images, and likeness, however. It's very possible they will come up with some sort of a solution at some point. And by the way, there is no easy solution. There's all sorts of unintended consequences if you just say, yeah, let's do this. But when it comes to a state legislature saying they're basically not trying to protect their own schools, although they're doing that, their athletes in their own schools, public schools, they're basically trying to force change on the NCAA. And at that point, the NCAA won't win optically, but they might have a really good shot if they want to go to court of saying, hey, you know, this is a violation of the Interstate Commerce Act, that states can't sort of regulate trade in other states with laws they make. And that's a real simplistic version of that, and I probably have mangled it, but I do think that there's that. Again, it optically wouldn't be great for the NCAA, but a lot of things can be true at the same time. One, athletes should be compensated for names, images, likeness. Two, that's a sticky wicket to try to figure out how to do. And three, the state legislature is not the appropriate place to sort of force the change all over the country.
No, I agree. I feel like this is a matter of just grab some popcorn and let's see how this plays out. You know, you were at LSU, Texas. I went back. It seems like a decade. I don't know. Mettenberger, Danny Etling, Jarrett Lee, that we've talked about. LSU needs a top-flight quarterback. The Ohio State transfer, Joe Burrow, took over last year, showed flashes. And then last week, I know he threw a pick, but man, those were good numbers. You saw him in person. How good is this young guy?
Well, at least on that night, he was really good, and he was the right guy to run this new offense. And so I think there were two things that were just sort of astounding. One was how good he was that night, because he didn't look that good any of last year, not in a full game anyway. And so what a great advancement he's made in year two as a starter, after transferring from Ohio State. And then the second piece of it, and maybe this is the more boggling piece, is that all that new offense that we were promised by LSU during the offseason, that I think I and many, many others were skeptical of, because that's been an almost annual promise for years and years, it appears to be real this time out. And you don't have to go any further than look at the possession late in the fourth quarter when they scored the clinching touchdown. You know, they could have kind of gone into four-minute offense and slowed things down and tried to kind of grind the clock out, and that's what an old LSU team would have done, and nobody would have faulted them if they had done that. And instead they went pass, pass, run, sack, pass, whatever, and they ended up at 3rd and 17, and on 3rd and 17, instead of doing something safe, They let Joe Burrow drop back. They just barely picked up a blitz, and he stepped up, avoided the blitz, and fired to a guy on a crossing route, and it ended up 61 yards later as the clinching touchdown. You know, if you get sacked there or if you throw an incompletion or whatever, Texas gets the ball, they've got all the momentum in the world, and they're going to go down and score because they had gotten into one of these Big 12-style shootouts that you can't get out of. But all of a sudden, LSU not only has the personnel and the scheme to thrive in one of those shootouts, but they have the will to do it. And I think those things all go together, and that was maybe the most astonishing thing to me.
Yeah, maybe people need to learn the name of Steve Ensminger, who's their new offensive coordinator, and to completely date myself, I remember when he was the LSU quarterback with a guy by the name of David Woodley, who would actually be the predecessor to Marino on the Dolphins, but Eddie O, the head coach, is a defensive guy, so as this goes, this is his offense, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Joe Brady's a guy they brought in from the Saints. He's 29 years old and a passing wunderkind, and we'll see how that goes. But I think he's had a giant effect. But, yeah, it's definitely his offense. Look, I can't congratulate LSU enough on being willing to change because that's been something they've been unwilling to do, and that includes Coach O, but certainly Les Miles, his predecessor, who promised change a couple off seasons and didn't do it. Look, we are going to overrate whatever the meaning of the first 2 weeks is, right? And 6 weeks from now, we'll be halfway through the season, or 5 weeks from now, and we'll have a much better feel for what these teams are all over the country, for good or for bad. And it's very possible that LSU won't be quite as good as they looked that night. But, boy, did they look really good. So you saw a pretty high ceiling.
I agree. They were entertaining. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. On the other side, yeah, Texas, who had some believing they were either on the verge or there, kind of back to national prominence. And while the final score was 7 points, you know, they scored kind of a window dressing timeout late. And again, I always say on this time of year, whatever we say now is subject to change. A lot of weapons. Reworked defense, who lost a lot from last year. So seeing them in person, what do you make of this Longhorn team?
Well, coming on back and forth, I think they're pretty good. Sam Ehlinger is really, really good.
Yeah.
He was the other night. We talked about Joe Burrow, but Sam Ehlinger basically matched him play for play. And I think Texas will lament 8 plays inside the LSU 10 in the first quarter on 2 separate possessions when they failed to get the ball in the end zone, including their running back, Keontae Ingram, dropped a wide-open touchdown pass on 4th down, just dropped, flat-dropped it. You get that, and not only does that just, you know, you look at the scoreboard, and the scoreboard's tied, right? But not only that, but it changes the complexion of the game. And credit LSU's defense for holding them out there. But my point is, there wasn't a whole lot separating those teams. There really wasn't. And inside the moment, as we watch and follow along on Twitter, we can sort of overreact to things even in the moment of the game and go, oh, wow, LSU is this and Texas is that. I think when you take a step back, you realize kudos to LSU, and they won in a tough environment on the road. And so clearly they were the better team that night. I think Texas is really good too.
Yeah, they'll be entertaining and fun to watch all year. A couple final thoughts for George Schroeder, USA Today. Last week, Michigan got quite the scare from the Black Knights of the Hudson. Even in the opener, it took the Wolverines a good second half to shake Middle Tennessee. It's year 5 under Jim Harbaugh, and again, it's early, but if they fall into that also ran and, you know, don't beat Ohio State, would we be accurate in saying things might get uncomfortable in Ann Arbor?
I don't think it's uncomfortable in terms of a hot seat, but I do think this is still a big year for them. And the important piece of this is that Wolverines are 2-0. The thing that's concerning is the offense hasn't exactly lit people up like they were planning to. And the Josh Gattis experiment is not gone. And it's just the first 2 weeks. It's not sort of produced the immediate results. He's of course, the assistant who came from Alabama, who, by the way, was not the coordinator at Alabama, was not the play caller. He's now a first-year offense coordinator and play caller, first time he's ever done that.
Right.
It's not gone great. And then the other question is Shea Patterson really – going to be that high-level quarterback that they need to get it run, to run it what they want to run? And then the last piece is, will Jim Harbaugh revert to sort of his ways? It's kind of a little bit like we were talking about LSU, where will he really let it fly, especially when it comes to crunch time? But as it relates to the first 2 weeks, I think you just feel good that you won. There's no harm, no foul here. And by the way, are we going to get it through our thick heads that Army's pretty darn good yet?
Yeah.
I think we should. And their style of play causes people all sorts of trouble because it's hard to get them off the field, and they take away from your possessions. They limit your number of possessions.
No, I was loving watching that game. My dad's a really big Army fan. Last thought, after a rough first season, which started poorly, Chip Kelly and the Bruins, this is a brutal start, 0-2, and the team from your neighborhood is coming. And I get they're really young, and it's only 14 games into his tenure, but safe to say, with Oklahoma coming, could the road have been any rockier so far for Coach Kelly?
Well, no, but it's about to get rockier, because it's really hard to imagine a scenario where Oklahoma doesn't win that game on Saturday, isn't it?
I can't.
So you're about to see UCLA go 0-3 and then fall to, what, 3-12, I want to say,
yep,
in Chip's one-plus year tenure there. And I don't know that anybody knew really what to expect, but this wasn't it. I still like the idea that he will get it turned around, and it should not be lost on us that he not only is dealing with a crazy young roster, but that he also has had to institute a complete sea change in culture. And that's kind of a buzzword whenever coaching staffs come in. But when Chip Kelly comes in, it really is a different culture than the last guy, because he's just different.
Right.
When he took over at Oregon, first of all, he had a ready-made roster. Secondly, they'd already been running his version of the spread for a couple of years, and some version of the spread for 4 or 5 years, right?
Yep.
They kind of already had a feel for who Chip Kelly was. He had a feel for who they were. This, you know, when he gets to UCLA, it's a complete rebuild, and I'm not sure we all understood that going in. And you're rebuilding the culture. Can he get it done? I don't know, but I'm still betting on Chip Kelly.
Yeah, it's just they've got so many freshmen and sophomores playing, and just if timing is everything, oh, great, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm not betting on Chip Kelly this week. I'm not betting on him much this year. I'm just saying, I think long term, he can turn the corner. It's just, it's frankly alarming at how bad it is.
Folks, he's George Schroeder. I think you knew that. USA Today, the red section, usatoday.com online, at George Schroeder on Twitter. Enjoy another stock chock full of nuts weekend of college football, George, and we shall chat again next week.
Hey, I look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, take it easy.